listening to Good News Geek with your hosts, John.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Matt.
I'm Batman.
And the Proby.
Potatoes. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Join them as they embark on a journey through pop culture, sharing the
good news, everyone.
Hello and welcome to Good News Geek on this March edition in 2024. I can't believe it. It seems like only yesterday we got together the last time.
It was only yesterday, wasn't it?
Certainly feels that way.
I'm hot.
Welcome.
It's temperature-wise, everybody. We can assure you.
Yes. Yes, there's no threat of any other forms of hotness coming from that corner. Unless he has been roasted beautifully in a jacket. And served with sour cream.
Crispy brown.
That's his new nickname. So welcome. You are listening to Good News Geek. I can definitely confirm that. And we're discussing a few things. I've actually done a plan this time.
You have. It's amazing. And you even sent it to us with less, well, with more than about an hour's notice like you usually do. We got about it almost a day.
Yep. So there you go. So we should be experts.
Absolutely.
Now.
And I definitely didn't only open it at about 5:30. So
no, definitely not.
I appreciate you.
That's something the Proby would do,
yeah.
Not you.
No, exactly. Yeah.
You send us something?
Exactly. That's it. Well, let me fill you in, Proby. So today we're going to be talking about a couple of things. We're going to be talking about John's triumphant return to streaming services.
Huzzah.
Yes, he has scammed the system somehow and gotten himself a few subscriptions and been enjoying his month. So we'll talk about a few shows that he's discovered on that. We'll talk about, it's kind of related. We'll talk about Apple and their streaming service, because John's found some good nuggets on that platform that he's been surprised about. We'll have a bit of a gaming update, as we usually do. Talk about a few new shows coming out. And, of course, we need to talk about the final season of The Bad Batch, which has come out.
Absolutely. That's pretty big news. So
absolutely, yeah. We've got a lot to talk about on that one.
Look forward to discussing that with you guys. So, look, I guess I'll get things started with one of the shows that I've found. And this is on Apple TV. Not sponsored. And the Apple TV subscription I have is because I recently bought a new iPhone.
Oh, what a waste of money. I mean, how nice for you.
And I bought it outright from the sale of our car, which we recently sold. And it was good because it means our phone bill now is quite low every month.
I would just like to say, I don't think it's a fair trade, a car for an iPhone.
Yeah, but we got our value from it. You know, we're 5 years old. It's time to move on. See a Camry. Now we've got our Mitsubishi Outlander.
Oh, you got something other than just an iPhone. I thought you just traded the Camry in for
iPhone. Oh, well, no, the car was a lot more than the iPhone. That was the issue. Like, this is off topic and we're not a car podcast, but things are so expensive these days. The timing wasn't my choice because our lease was up. So you had to go for a new car. We didn't. We could have kept it, but we didn't have the balloon figure.
Yeah. Was it, yes. Was that novated lease?
Ooh, yeah, novated lease. Sure. Which was over $9,000. Over $9,000. You know, it was not great timing, so we had to get a new car, but everything's so expensive. If we wanted another Camry, like for like, first of all, we have to wait for a year for it, which is not ideal.
No.
And in fact, they're not even taking orders for the Camry now. But also, it was like $6,000 more dearer.
Mm.
And it was just like, I can't justify that.
No.
So we spent a little bit less, or maybe about the same, but we got the Mitsubishi Outlander.
Which is a much more car for the same price.
Correct. It's good bang for buck. Yeah. I mean, it's normal petrol.
It's actually what I'm looking at now, because I'm looking at doing a novated lease with the new work that I'm doing. And that is the car I'm looking at.
You have a job?
Yeah.
I just thought you did this.
Poorly. Yeah. we don't pay him for this. So.
No, that's true. Anyway, off topic. So got the iPhone, more than just one iPhone for the car.
Well, they are that expensive.
Yeah, that's true. The car has just more metal in it than the phone does. Just. So the show that I found is called Constellation. So this is just going to be a bit of a spoiler-free.
Constellation.
Yeah, so this, when I actually put it on, I just assumed, as I automatically do these days, is that when there's something on a streaming service, it's all there, ready to go.
Oh,
so I just
yes.
hit it and then hit play, right? I didn't go into it. Just went, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just going to watch something and...
No, not that way anymore.
No, it's being released week to week. So there were three episodes to get us started and now we're waiting week to week. But the good thing is we're actually invested in it. So this is a science fiction thriller slash horror. So basically it's about an astronaut who goes into space and the International Space Station, and an unexpected event occurs, which leads to a series of unusual events when she gets home. So things start to get quite strange. Of course, there's an emergency situation up there.
This sounds like the premise of Fantastic Four.
Yeah, no one comes back super stretchy, I'm afraid.
Okay, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, looking like a pile of rubble.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. I mean, so many opportunities.
Flame on.
But it was a science experiment that went wrong. Of course it is. And, yeah, it does kind of unveil this twisting story, and it's quite a good little mystery.
How many episodes are down?
I think I'm 5 episodes in. I can't recall off the top of my head. The pacing's quite slow. It's kind of building the intensity up a mm-hmm. little bit. And it's like, well, what the heck's happening? Mm. It really draws you in. And it's doing quite a good job of that. Ordinarily, slow pacing does annoy me a bit. But I'm actually enjoying this little trip.
This one's not too bad.
Yeah, it's giving you enough.
As long as it's giving you like the whatever backstory or whatever, I guess, filler is interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's slow. As long as it holds your attention, then that's what's worth it.
Like for me, if it doesn't really – if it doesn't give you enough to go on, or it doesn't reveal enough as it continues, then it kind of gets a bit monotonous. It hasn't revealed a lot, but it gives you a lot of leads as to what might be happening, which is good. So it keeps you guessing, which is enjoyable. The acting is pretty good.
Anyone famous do we know that we know?
No one that I know, but there are some faces I recognize, but I'm not sure where from.
Yeah.
And I didn't bother looking up IMDb.
Come on. I can't see a face that I recognize in a show without going, I've got to look this up. Because it annoys me if I don't know where I know them from.
Mm. See, I just watch the show.
That's hilarious because I do that a little bit, but my parents do that as well. My kids just complained about that because my parents said, like, oh, let's all watch a movie together on the weekend. And they're like, oh, if we watch a movie with Grandma and Pop, they're going to spend the whole time going, oh, that's that person from this show and that's that person from this show. And they're 100% correct. They did it almost instantly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it is rather annoying. Good. In fact, I have an ongoing joke with my mother-in-law saying, because there was one particular instance where we're watching something like, oh, they're from MASH. And she was set on it. They're from MASH. And it wasn't. No, it wasn't them. It was just someone that may have resembled them. And so every time now that happens, we're like, oh, yes, I reckon that person's from MASH. Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite funny. But, you know, back to this show. Sorry. The performances are good. And I don't know whether it's just there's a quality to the show that makes it a little bit alien insofar as how to describe it without giving things away. So it's like when she does get back to Earth, it's almost, yeah, I can't say any other way than saying it's alien-like.
It's alien-like.
It seems.
Well, don't spoil it for us.
It's familiar without being familiar.
Yeah.
They're like unfamiliar and familiar at the same time. It's odd. But I'm not sure how it kind of.
So it's like Uncanny Valley kind of.
Yes. Fair. Yes. Exactly. You can tell it's set on Earth, but it doesn't feel fully real.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something that isn't quite right. And I really enjoy that I presume it's done on purpose.
Mm.
I mean, it could just be, oh, we had no budget. And so it looks unreal because there's only ever about 3 people on the camera at once.
Got like a bit of a Deadpool situation with like only 2 other X-Men.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, like I said, when I started the show, I didn't realize the episodes were releasing individually. So now I've got to wait week to week. Sure. And the devastating thing is I have about 3 weeks to go of my free subscription.
Uh-oh.
So I might have to continue it a little bit longer, at least until we get to the end of this.
Well, you're going to have to buy a new phone to get another month free.
I think that might be a more expensive way of doing it than just paying for a subscription. Possibly.
Have you got another car you can sell or...?
I don't know. Is yours here?
Ah, no, I walked. Sorry.
You walked? Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. I thought you went dinky on the back of his motorbike.
I went on the front. On the handlebars.
You were in my lap. Don't lie.
Yeah, so that's really good. So I do highly recommend it.
It's, how many potatoes out of 5?
How many potatoes out of 5? I would say early on it's 4.
Mm.
It's quite good. And yeah, so hopefully it continues being as amazing as it is. And I have something more to tell you about when things progress.
Well, we look forward to hearing about it then.
How interesting is it? How weird is it that I'm actually being positive about something for a change?
It's weird.
I'm shocked.
I'm not ready for it.
Yeah, I'm not used to this.
I was waiting for the but. Yeah.
There's no but in this instance. I mean, there is a but in this room.
Couple. At least 2.
Yeah. So obviously watching this decent show that I'm quite positive about.
Which is not odd. Like you.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. We're talking about strangeness.
Speaking of Uncanny Valley, yeah. Are you the real John?
For now I am, yeah. And ask the question, When did Apple start making good content?
Well, they had to start making good content because they don't make good products.
No.
What was the show? It was based off that book that you told me to – it was
– Oh, that audio book that I've discovered.
No.
Yeah, that was a great audio book. I'm yet to delve into it, but, you know, one thing at a time.
Yeah.
You're talking about Foundation, aren't you?
Foundation.
Because I will be covering that shortly.
There you go. Foundation, that was one. You told me to read that.
I did.
And I enjoyed it. And they made a show out of it, and the show was okay from season one that I saw.
Uh-oh. I can see some contention happening here. I think that's John's new favourite.
Okay.
Well, you see, the thing is, if he was anything other than a potato, I might be upset right now. but, you know, in the end, he's moldable. I mean, potato stamps, right? So I just need to bring him around to my way of thinking.
Mash.
Only if things get really bad will I resort to mashing you. But I left the platform maybe 6 months ago because I did have, prior to my 3 month free access, I had like a 6-monther, which I felt like lasted 12 months. Don't ask me how that worked. But I didn't really watch anything because I'd check on there and there wasn't a lot to see.
Yeah, I've never
it's always
looked at Apple streaming.
You're right.
No, I've never been bothered.
You just don't like Apple. So you're like,
well, I didn't have anything Apple. I haven't had anything Apple for a while.
No, I've always had a look and I've always considered, I've never actually got the thingy, the subscription, but I've always looked and gone, I can probably do this another time.
Well, it's interesting because I think Constellation and Foundation have been really good. And so I am a bit disappointed my sub is running out. One thing I do need to mention about Constellation though is that every single electronic device in that show is Apple.
Of course it is. That's how they get funded.
So all the phones are iPhones. Everyone has an iPad. You know, that they're up on the International Space Station, but they're not using like some high techie stuff. They're using iPads and stuff like that. And everyone has an iMac and stuff. It's like, maybe that's part of the uncanny valley. It's like,
yeah.
You know, I feel like
everybody's that
this
rich.
Has been filmed in Cupertino.
Yeah.
But, it is really good. And if Apple do keep producing good content or at least hosting it, because some of the things that they have on there that looks pretty good isn't theirs, but it might be like another company, but they're hosting it, like Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping a sub to Apple might actually be worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I've never gone to it because there's so many other streaming ones. It was just, you know,
which we always talk about,
yeah,
because there's always heaps.
So it was just one bridge too far for me.
Yeah,
but I'm glad you found something on there
that's made
you excited and happy.
It could
for
just
life
be
again.
Because I have been bitter and twisted for the last 6 months because I've had no access to any of it. That I'm just like, oh my god, I have something, and it's making
me watch anything
so happy. But there are a couple of other shows that look interesting. Dark Matter. I haven't looked into that very much, but it looked intriguing when I read the blurb. Don't ask me what the blurb said. I can't recall it now. There's also a show.
Definitely
movie,
worth bringing it up then.
Yeah, called Severance.
Severance sounds familiar to me. As well.
Yeah, so the premise is you can actually separate your work thoughts and memories from your everything else.
Interesting.
So basically like it's someone works in the office, for instance. That's the only memory they have is working in that office. It looks a bit interesting. So I am as surprised as anyone that A, I found a show I like, in fact, more than one, shock horror, and I'm actually positive about a streaming service for a change.
Well, being positive in general.
I'm extremely happy for you and I can't wait to see the life leave your eyes when you don't renew that subscription.
Yeah, that's right.
And then won't be able to watch them again.
Yeah, that is a truth that I might have to come to terms with. But maybe not. Maybe I can convince my wife that, hey, look, we've already gone through the financing, you know, process.
We don't need dinner 7 nights a week.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I know we've already downgraded from steak to like sausages, but still there is like Z grade.
Well, I was going to say,
ground,
I mean, just
beef.
Yeah, just go from steak to minute steak. It's still steak.
Yeah, that's right. So that kind of leads me into the next thing. So Foundation, we've already talked about it.
Yes.
Sorry
to keep going and taking all of the
maybe I should
airtime.
Have read the script.
Maybe you should have read the script.
Yeah there's a bunch of stuff in here you were supposed to talk about in between that. Maybe, well, but I guess we'll have to do that next time. Yeah. We're gonna give you prime.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I talk about the Bad Batch?
Not yet.
Okay. No, it's not yet. It's later on in the program. Yes. All right. So we'll get to that.
This is why you need the script.
You need the script. You need to read it. I mean, if you can't read, let me know and I'll make an audio book version.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
Speaking of audiobooks, do you have a good recommendation?
Yeah, I found one recently. It's quite good. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, again, I like something for a change. I watched the entire season
of
Foundation. One go.
Season one or season two?
Season two.
Okay.
In fact, I liked season two. I don't know whether I liked it more, but I was certainly more intrigued and hooked in a bit more, which is why I had a cold a couple of weeks ago. It's why I cancelled.
Did you read the book?
No. I did start reading the book and I'm like, this is quite involved.
It was very
involved. I might stop and watch the show, enjoy that as a separate thing and come back to the book.
Sure.
So, I watched the entire season in one sitting while I was sick out here in the lounge room in about 10 hours. So one after the other. Yolanda had fallen asleep, you know, piked out. Like the weak one she is, the weakling she is. And I also learned something else. I'm not a young man. That, I mean, I was already unwell and that was the Saturday night that I watched it all / Sunday morning, and all of Sunday I was like dead.
Is this a long weekend? Like the one just gone or not?
No, the one before. The one when I cancelled recording last time because I was sick.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very good. And what I wanted to do, this is going to be a spoiler review. So spoiler alert has been issued. So if you stick around, it's your own fault with a twist. So I sat down with my computer and like, oh, everyone's doing this AI thing. Perhaps I could get it to draft me something that I can then build on.
Sure.
Because looking up, I watched it all at once. So it's a bit of a whirlwind. I can't remember what I saw in which episode and, all at once.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, okay, well, perhaps I'll just use AI.
I think we're going to have to dock your pay.
Well, maybe. Well, we'll see. So I'm going to read this review that it did. And
it spat out for you.
It spat it out for me. And I gave it some parameters because that's the thing, right? So love or hate AI, it's going to become a fact of life that what we're going to end up having is a new career where your job is to prompt AI.
It's already out there.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So, you know, and I was thinking, oh, you know, if you got really good at this, you could get some excellent results. So I should have saved what my prompts were so you could compare it to. But this is basically as it's written. So this is not my usual tone, but I'll do my absolute best delivering it with the tone and the energy that AI wants me to deliver it. Are you ready?
I kind of wish that you hadn't read this beforehand so it would be a surprise to you as it is to us.
Well, it was a lot of fun actually reading it because I have added a few things in, like a few corrections. That I just knew that maybe it's not quite, you know, right. There are a lot of puns in it.
Sure.
Right. So I have done that in the past with my reviews and stuff. So anyway, we'll see.
Hit us.
All right. So Foundation isn't just about futuristic hairdos and laser guns. This is my addition. In fact, some would say it's nothing about that because it's not. It's a cosmic chess match between destiny and free will. Here are some themes that pulsate through the show, like hyperdrive energy. They use jump drives. FYI. Psychohistory. So imagine predicting the future using math. That's psychohistory. Our heroine, Gail Dornick, messes with the timeline and suddenly the universe is side-eyeing her like, whoa, Gail, you just stepped on a butterfly in the Jurassic era. The Galactic Empire is crumbling and everyone's got a role to play. But what if you're a rebel or a reluctant hero? Foundation asks, can one person change the fate of a galaxy? Identity crisis. Who are we really? Are we just cosmic dust or something more? The characters grapple with their purpose, their past, and whether they're just pawns in a celestial game. Dun, dun, dun.
I feel like this was not an AI. This was you trying to be theatric.
Trying to be theatrical and then blame AI if it doesn't go down.
Exactly right.
All right. So anyway.
This physically hurts.
Allow me to continue causing you pain.
Yeah.
Brace yourself, stargazers. Here are the moments that made us spill our cosmic coffee. Space Battle Royale, Episode 9. Picture Star Wars meets a supernova. Ships collide, lasers dance, and our hearts race. It's like watching a fireworks show during an asteroid shower. Salvor sacrifice finale. Salvor, fierce, brilliant, and ready to throw down. She takes a bullet for Gale, proving that even in the vastness of space, sacrifice matters. Rip, Salvor. You were our cosmic MVP.
Wow.
The Mule's Whisper, mind blown. The Mule, a mentalic with more power than a black hole. His whispers echo through the cosmos, and we're left wondering, is he the ultimate puppeteer or just a misunderstood telepath?
Oof.
It continues.
Oh, does it?
Oh, it continues.
Does it have to?
I specified that this should take about 3 minutes to read.
Of course he did.
Critical reaction. Critics strapped on their rocket boots and weighed in. IGN said they're over the moon. Foundation's layered storytelling and stunning visuals have them doing zero gravity somersaults. It's like Asimov's brain got a CGI upgrade. Metacritic said, they're nodding sagely. The intimate character arcs make the macro story pop. It's like watching a nebula unfold in slow motion.
I don't think Metacritic said that.
I don't think so either. Rotten Tomatoes.
Here we go.
They're high-fiving aliens. That's what they're doing. They are high-fiving aliens at Rotten Tomatoes. Foundation cut loose, had fun, and delivered an epic scope. It's like binge-watching the universe's greatest show.
Wow.
Outro. And there you have it, Cosmic Crew. Foundation Season 2, a warp speed ride through destiny, sacrifice, and starships. Until next time, keep your jump drives calibrated and your wormholes regular. That's
it. You're not allowed to use.
So, and can I say, it even says fade out with cosmic synth music in italics. So, and it has a list of references here to where I got the information.
So you said at the start that you think there'll be jobs out there for people who can create prompts to get a good AI.
It's not things. You.
Yeah, don't quit your job, mate.
First of all, let me just say, my prompting was amazing. It gave me exactly what I asked for, albeit a bit more zealous than I had anticipated. Well,
I wouldn't.
Don't worry. Once we go off air, we will give you exactly what you've asked for.
I thought it was funny because things like the side-eyeing gal made me laugh because other than it clumsily saying you stepped on a butterfly in a Jurassic era, I thought maybe specifying that butterfly effect in some other way might be a bit, you know, better. That was a bit clunky, I thought, but almost like my explanation of what I actually didn't like about it.
I understood that reference closer to the rest of it.
Oh, you know, and the puns.
Yeah.
I thought were a bit on the nose, but that's why I left it in because I knew what you'd do, your facials you'd make, and you pretty much lived up to that, so congratulations.
It hurts.
I thought the potato would just stand in the corner and just go, this is my speed.
Wow.
Maybe I'm AI.
Maybe I am.
He's the A.
The A hasn't quite mastered yet.
That was clever.
And you could recognise it, so maybe there's more hope for you in the
afterworld. That was one of your faster jokes.
Thank you.
Anyway, keep telling me I'm really quick.
Yeah,
I need a break from talking, guys. So I think I hand over the reins now in your capable hands, but in your hands to discuss.
I'll fumble it.
Your gaming update. What have you been playing, guys?
I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3.
You and everybody else in the world.
Me and everybody else in the world. It's been out for a little while now. I'm jumping on the bandwagon a little bit late. But, giving it a crack. I did play it about a year and a bit ago when it came out as like a pre-release thing on Steam. I thought it was a little clunky back then and I got, I don't know, maybe an act in. I think there's like it's run in acts, like act one, act two. I don't know. I think that's how it goes. Anywho's, back then I liked it, but I got bored quite quickly and I think we moved on to something else. Now I'm playing it on the Xbox. I'm thoroughly enjoying it and I've spent a few nights where it's been like 1:30 in the morning and I've realized, I got to get to bed. I got work in the morning and been tired.
That's the mark of a good game.
It is. It's been doing to me. Yeah. How about you?
I briefly started playing a game, same thing, it's in early release, but I was quite looking forward to it called Nightingale. Which is like a open world on Steam. It's like building survival game based on like
I think I sent you a TikTok or something.
No, that was for a different one. I thought it was because somebody else sent me that one and I went, oh, I'm pretty sure Scott sent me that. So I checked it out, but yours was a different one. I ended up refunding it. I really liked it, but it was so much more involved than just your regular building survival game, which I actually like that. I think a lot of the other ones are far too simple. I just don't have enough time these days to put into it, especially at the moment. I downloaded the game, I bought it, and it took me 3 days to even load it up after I installed it. I played it for 2.5 hours to get through sort of like the main sort of intro-y sort of stuff to like where you get to your own little base area. And I just went, I'm not going to have enough time for this. And it's a $50 game. I went, I'll spend this $50 on something else. So I refunded it, but it is good. It's if you have the time to kill
for building to like Conan.
From what I did, it was similar to Conan. Like you got your other ones, like the other one I've been playing recently, sort of Icarus, and then you got your other like you know your normal sort of building survival ones, like DayZ and, Intimidator to Die, that sort of stuff, Forest. It's very, the building part, at least the early building stuff, is very simple in the fact that you just say, I want to build this, and it puts down like a blueprint, and then you just get the materials. So like for houses and everything, you do a lot of construction stuff for equipment and weapons, but, you know, you can build a house in like, you know, 5 minutes, because all you've got to do is just put blueprints for walls down, sure, and then just find enough rocks. Right. So that part of it was fairly basic. I'm sure it gets much more involved when you try to use different materials. And unlike, you know, Icarus and stuff like that, it looks like it's persistent. So you can build yourself a massive base and you don't have to worry about it getting destroyed or, you know, leaving the world or anything like that. So it looks good. The story actually looked really good. I loved all the Fae realm stuff, like the main character that you first come across at the start of the game, is Puck. From Midsummer Night's Dream, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. So it looked really good. But yeah, just, and it's all like a Victorian steampunk era themed. But yeah, just not enough time to. So I've gone back to playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's just released the,
of course, yeah,
released the new chapter, so you can get further in it again.
Is
I don't think the fantasy was as final as I was thinking, given how often you play it.
Well, I mean, I've only bought 7 or 8 or 9 times on different platforms. So, you know, it's somewhat final.
What are you playing it on? On
PC, Steam. Yeah. I mean, I've got it on the PlayStation, but I didn't want to update it, so I bought it on Steam.
Fair enough.
It was on sale.
Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it for me at the moment. My gaming time has been very limited. I did, however, like John, actually binge an entire TV series when it came out, which was the live-action Avatar: The Last Airbender.
How was that?
It was good.
Better than we thought?
Not as good as the cartoon. 100 times better than the movie.
It's impossible.
So it's a the good...
Movie, the movie was a masterpiece.
It's a good middle ground. Some of the character choices were interesting, just, you know, based on aesthetics compared to, you know, what they are in the cartoons. Some of them are spot on. Like, I didn't think I'd like him at the start, the character that plays Zuko. Really good Zuko, to be honest. He does a really good job. And Uncle Iroh, spot on. Absolutely spot on. And, it was good. They obviously changed some stuff, and it's a little bit sort of darker. But
Zuko, especially, one of the most, like, I guess, expressive characters in the whole show. You know, all you got to be is a happy-go-lucky little bald guy.
Pretty much. It was quite good. The water bending and the air bending and the earth bending is a little bit, it's like, you know, it looks okay. The fire bending looks awesome because it's fire. You know, it's always going to look awesome, and they do a good job of it.
You are a pyromaniac.
Yeah, so. It's true. But so it was
in the middle of heat waves, so it was a bit risky getting you out of your house, to be honest. Yeah. Should be locked up. He's got your ankle bracelet on, or?
I actually just left it at home. I found that's a lot easier.
Yeah.
But so, no, I think it was a good show. Definitely worth watching. It's already been renewed for a second and third season.
Sure.
So it's done critically well compared to all the other sort of.
How did it go following the storyline? Did it track it the same, or?
Yeah, it's.
Where does it sort of get up to?
It ends at the attack on the Northern Water Tribe. So same as essentially where the movie ends, which is the first book. It's the water book.
Book one, water, whatever
it's called. So it ends there. But it's most, you know, story beats are the same. They obviously have a little bit of change of stuff. There's people that whinge going, oh, it's not shot for shot for the cartoon, but yeah, it's fine. And they do, at the start of it as well, they start out by showing the start of the Hundred Year War. And the Air Temple and the Air Nomads being attacked, and then it sort of gets into it. So it doesn't just start with, you know, oh, everything's been crap for 100 years.
Sure.
So but it's good. I think it's
usually something I want to get behind, obviously. But yeah, I think is one of those things. It's just like there's less time than you expect. What else have I watched? I don't think I've really watched anything fun lately.
I just realized too. I didn't specify this earlier, but I did. Like Foundation. 4 stars.
Well,
four potatoes.
Four potatoes.
You should have got the AI to put in a personal rating at the end. But.
Yes. No, I didn't actually specify that because I'd already given my rating prior to going, I should get AI to help.
Fair enough.
And then like completely lent on the AI.
Well, that's
Did you watch season one of Foundation PS?
No. No, I saw a couple of the episodes, but just one of those shows that I've got on my list of one day I'll watch.
I just feel like the book, as you know, like it jumps times. Mm. Well, not jumps, it just jumps forward in time a lot by hundreds of years. And everyone in the previous, all the characters were dead. And it's been and gone. And then it's another lot of characters. And then they're dead. And then, you know, so on and so forth in the book. That I feel like the show is hard to, you can't do that. Otherwise it, does it do that? It does do that. Oh.
Yeah. Yes. So some characters remain because they go into stasis pods and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's very,
that's how they maintain.
It's very difficult if you were to do a show.
And replacing all the characters. That's what I mean.
Replace the characters every half season is going to be problematic.
No, exactly. And that's why the thing, I always thought while reading the book that the, surely the show can't maintain that for that exact reason.
Yeah, no, they do jump ahead.
I in fact found that several hundred years. Even as a book, you read that and you're reading about whole new characters every time. You're like, this is kind of frustrating. Not frustrating, just hard to get behind. Because after the first time, it's like, oh, okay. And then it happens again. You're like, oh. And then you know it's going to happen again. And so it's like, why do I get right behind a particular character when you know what's going
to
happen?
So people think there are a lot of deaths in Game of Thrones.
True.
But that's nothing compared to Foundation.
It just wipes everybody out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very, very good. Well,
speaking of jumping ahead in time, I'm going to jump ahead to our next segment because while I was reading our script here, I've noticed that you've put down that you want to talk about Starship Troopers. And first I thought, has there been a Starship Troopers series come out that I've completely missed? But no, you're clearly talking about the Starship Troopers movie, which let me just preface this by saying one of my favorite movies. I love this movie. It is so good, which is why I'm so surprised that in your talking points, your very first point is less violence and more boobies than you remember.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not remember the boobies?
I don't know, actually. I guess I've seen a lot of boobies.
And not just, I mean, for our one lady fan out there, it's not just boobs. It's there's a lot of ass and shower. And in fact, I don't remember that much because obviously I was paying attention to something else. But I think there is just full on dong as well.
I don't know. But
because there's a few showers.
I am
scenes.
Watching the yes.
Oh, you're watching like the
streaming on a streaming
version.
Service. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
I had it on VHS. So did I watched VHS. I watched that VHS.
There are
VHS
parts, like, there are parts of that tape worn thin.
That's exactly what I was about to say. There's about two parts that are worn quite thin on that tape. Yeah. I absolutely love Starship Troopers. I think it is a fantastic movie. I think it is.
When you talk about cult classics, it's when people talk about cult classic movies. That was like a one movie thing that really defined like a culture side things. That's the movie I think of every time.
Well, I think it's
it pops into my head.
I love it. I love it for the movie. I love it for the actors.
Yeah.
And I love it because it's one of a handful of movies that is there to make a very, very obvious political point. Mm. And the majority of the people that watch the movie and like it completely miss that point. It's like American Psycho and Fight Club that people just like they get the complete wrong message from this movie, it's fantastic.
So when did you watch this movie again? When did it pop up?
Just last week.
Just
came. I watched it with my wife. I said, I put it on, and she's like, "What's this?" And I said, "Starship Troopers." Obviously, like
you're,
clearly,
Yolanda, had you seen like, Starship she's never Troopers seen before? You'd never seen Starship. Oh wow.
No, so. She saw more boobies than she's probably seen before in one sitting at least. Less violence and more boobs than I remember. I don't know why I don't remember all those scenes.
She's not looked on your computer history before.
But, I sat down with Yellen to watch it and it has some gore. Though I thought it had more. Like that's what I really remember was the violence of it.
There's like a couple of people who get like impaled by the spiders and
there's
like
a, there's a headshot.
Yeah, but I thought
well,
it was more.
Training
And I thought there was more of that, but it wasn't. But that's all right because Paul Verhoeven, who directed the movie, he does graphic violence quite a lot. He was involved with RoboCop, and I'm not sure if you've ever seen the director's cut of RoboCop.
I don't even know.
I think I have. Yeah.
Right. So it's far more gory, than the original, and even that was R18. You know, the edited version. Mm. So, yeah, I watched that when I was growing up.
R18, wasn't it?
No.
No?
We have 15 plus?
Yeah, I think it's close.
And how old were you when you were watching it?
Oh, definitely like 10 or something. The first time.
Good work, Mum.
This is how I
then again, I watched things like RoboCop when I was a kid.
I don't think it was MA15. I think it was just M because you showed a lot more stuff back in the day.
Yeah, probably true. Yeah,
could have been.
But yeah, anyway, I always feel sorry.
I still don't think I'm allowed to watch M because it's mature audiences.
No, you're not.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
No, not without, you know, the missus with you at least. Yeah. Or some sort of parental person. You can, I mean, your kids will be able to let you watch it soon.
I mean, by the time you're mature enough, you'll be vodka by then, so.
True.
I always feel sorry for the bugs by the end of the movie.
Well, there you go, the brain bugs and
the brain bugs. Yeah, the, you know.
Getting probed.
I always feel sorry when they're getting.
I like how it does a little censored like thing at the end when they.
Yeah. And like, because you think about, okay, so they give you the story. They give you the human version of the story, how they came across the arachnids. But clearly something triggered these bugs into attacking Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So there must have been some sort of altercation where,
sure,
you know, something bad someone happened to them. Someone kicked it
off. So I'm pretty sure that the bugs had oil.
Well, the subplot of the movie, of course, is about fascism, a statement about fascism, isn't it? Absolutely. Some people think it's like praising fascism, but I don't get that. Like,
no, it's not.
Like, I don't like the humans by the end of it.
You're not supposed to. You are not supposed to like the humans. Yeah. I mean, we all do.
But as a guilty pleasure, not as you know. And that's why I always feel sorry for the bugs too.
Well, so. I think if the bugs had more boobs, then you probably like the bugs more.
Probably true, yeah. But like the, you know,
maybe
the whole
if it
thing
didn't have Neil Patrick Harris, you know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Doing magic tricks or kind of.
Yeah, he's a psychic.
Yes.
Anyway.
Sort of magic, yes.
So I really like the brutalism and how absurd it makes the movie, like as in a good way, like not absurd as in this is ridiculous, but hilarious. So it was messy. It's uncomplicated. It's a pretty straightforward story, right?
Yep.
And sometimes that's all you want from a movie. You just want to be able to sit down, enjoy, because it's a science fiction, but it's also a really violent action movie. It kind of had everything you want. Like a lot of sci-fi is sometimes quite intellectual.
Yeah.
You know, like Star Trek, and it's a bit like a thinking man's show foundation, which is all great. But sometimes you just want to sit down and watch people bite the dust in the most graphic and violent way possible and enjoy your sci-fi. You want like John Wick in space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think there should be more. I mean, is there any movie that's kind of like that, that ticks that box that I'm not aware of? I'm judging by the silence. So I'm trying to think. Coming to mind.
Yeah, no, there definitely is, but off the top of my head.
Yeah, maybe nothing as well-known or popular.
I mean, there's lots of movies like that, but they're more of your action movie, but they're not the maybe not that I can think of with the sci-fi.
Yeah, and I think that's what's unique about this. You get that kind of, you know, it's like Braveheart in space.
Oh, especially at the time. Like, there's probably a lot more stuff now because there's sci-fi stuff everywhere.
And there's streaming services everywhere.
But at the time.
There's probably even a Bollywood movie that's similar.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, no, I think there's a need for sci-fi that's a bit more violent.
Having said that, though, Starship Troopers 2 and 3, terrible.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I don't think I ever watched them.
Oh, they're awful. The second one hasn't even got Casper Van Dien in it. It's completely different people. And then the third one, I'm pretty sure he comes back for it. Still bad. I didn't think he was in either of them,
but yeah, okay, fair enough.
Well, there you go. The first one's a classic. But if there is a movie that you think fits that bill, where it's science fiction and violent and just a bit of a gore fest, let us know on our Facebook page.
And if it has boobies, then just let John know on his personal Facebook.
That's right. And I'll screen capture those shots. Yeah. So speaking of boobies, I just want to discuss.
Best segue ever.
Discuss things that leave you wanting more.
Yeah, no, I stand by it. Best segue ever.
This is in regards to like what movies or shows actually left us wanting more. So there's often times where you go, maybe they shouldn't have made those last three Star Wars movies or something like that, right? But there are some shows out there that you go, you know what? I could use a lot more of that.
You know what? One that got cancelled, it was on Netflix. It was called Deadly Class. It was like a school for
Deadly
assassins.
Class was great.
I freaking loved it. It's like a
school for assassins.
But it's like modern day sort of thing.
And there's all different cliques in it. So there's like, you know, the triads, and then there's like the
Like the mafia, the, like mafia.
There's like a Italian mafia, and there's like the Latinos and all that sort of stuff. And you know, they're not supposed to, because they're, you know, they're all learning to be assassins, but you know, they're all still against each other. And and it's quite good.
And then you got the misfits. Basically surrounds is around the misfits, that they don't belong in a particular clique themselves, so they become their own little clique, and they're all, you know, funky and crazy and
they're good at killing people. Each other.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
But that's very good show.
That was good.
The first season, excellent. I have no idea why they cancelled it after one season. Annoys me. But it really...
They do that though, streaming services.
Left me wanting
more. It had Wong in it.
Wong in it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Wong was like the principal of the...
principal of the school.
Yeah.
Come so far.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about what movie does that for me.
Sure.
And for me, that was District 9.
District 9, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great movie.
Yeah. So I thought that movie was very solid.
South African.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
We're going to ignore... that terrible accent.
It was perfect.
It told a great story about aliens that arrived to Earth, and then like we immediately confine and control them as a lesser form of life. That's totally human of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is a poignant allegory, obviously, for how we treat those that we perceive as lesser than ourselves, or those who are different in some way.
And they even called them prawns.
Yeah, even called them prawns, exactly. And given the setting, the location of where it's set and things like that, it's probably more of an allegory to apartheid and just because of its location. By the end of that movie, though, I wanted so badly to know what happened to the guy who was turning into a prawn.
Yep.
And like, what would he be able to achieve in his prawn, new prawn self? You know, could he like help prevent the suffering of those around him? Because like he knows the human system's really...
Don't they sort of do a little cut to him at the very end of the movie? I mean, like he's like digging through trash.
He's completely transformed, but I don't know. Does he look like... I don't even know if he loses himself completely.
It looks like, because he's looking like he's digging through trash like a...
Yeah, well,
like
you were doing like that the other night, and
Yeah, and I'm useless.
You heard it here, folks, first.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think that's what they try to show is like he's completely transformed and he's gone. Like, his mind's now lesser and he's almost gone to a baser instinct type thing.
Well, what could the guy that actually left in the ship... with his son.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was he was like the smart version of.
Yeah, so what's going to happen? Is he going to bring more of his people, and how is that going to end for humanity? Probably not well.
Independence Day.
No, not great.
Yeah, but like I was totally up for that. I'm like,
yeah, so,
I was watching that movie and I'm like, you know what? Humans are scum. They should come back and wipe them all out.
Yep. True.
Those prawns should get ultimate revenge.
Yeah. Leave Australia out of it. We didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't us.
Hands up. There are a lot of movies and books and worlds where they do such good world building that you want to know more about it and you want to find out. But then, like as you mentioned, you know, you have to mention Firefly. You know, that's I always want to see more Firefly.
It's one of the penultimate of
it is
cancelled too early.
But the problem is that sometimes you get your wish and then you regret that. So I've seen like I get it more with books than I do with TV shows and that, but there was it was actually like a manga that I was reading at the time, but it finished and I really liked it. And then I hadn't thought about it. And then one day I went, I want to read that again. And I started to read it. And then I realized there was new chapters and they released a handful of like, oh, this is what happens after the story ended. And I'm like, oh, great. I really liked this. I'm excited to see what happens to the characters. And then I read them and I went, I really just could have done without that. Like, that was completely pointless.
Yeah. And I guess there's probably more risk of that in a book too, because part of the world that gets built is the one that you imagine.
Yeah.
And when something happens against your imaginings, it's like, oh.
Well, it wasn't even that it was against my imaginings. I mean, I wouldn't have imagined it, but it was like, you know, they've won the battle and now they get to live their lives. It's like, yay, now this person gets married and has kids and now this is about their kids and they talk about that for 10 minutes. Like, I don't really care. You know,
it's like the ending of Lord of the Rings.
It is the last half of the third movie. It's just nobody cares by that point. The action's done. It's like, just throw the title, throw the credits up. That's all you need.
Mm.
So, yeah, just be careful what you wish for. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to be careful with what we wish for, because sometimes you get it. Though it doesn't look like tonight we're going to get what everyone's been asking for.
No, I was just about to say we need to get to Bad Batch really quickly, but we've got the big clock up on the wall there and it's run out of time. It's actually in the minus. We've run over.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like we're not going to get around to Bad Batch. Sorry about that.
Oh, I was going to, I had so much to say too.
Yeah, you were actually going to take the lead on that one. So that's right. We'll cut you out of the credits for this episode again.
Give me that drink back then.
I can give you,
give it about 40 minutes.
It'll be a bit warmer. It's roughly the same color.
Yeah. We can't talk about Bad Batch, but that does bring this month's episode to a close. I hope it was quite clear compared to other episodes that we actually planned.
We did.
And spoke about things.
We talked about it a lot of the stuff that wasn't on our voice
too. A positive one.
Yeah, yeah.
A positive one.
Yeah, you almost sound like you're enjoying life again. So let's crush that out.
Maybe I am enjoying life. Maybe that's what's wrong with me.
Apparently having no streaming services has been good for you.
No, getting back on the streaming services is good for me.
That dopamine hits back.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, thanks guys for joining me today. But we do have a bit of a tease for our next episode, Matt. What are we going to be talking about then?
We do absolutely have a tease, and it's completely on the notes that you
He's trying here. To rapidly find. How about I take over and just let you know that that's all for today, and make sure you join us next time on Good News Geek to hear us insult the potato and discuss more from around pop culture.
Okay, I would just like to point out that's not a tease. That's just an outro.
It's a teaser.
I thought you were
People didn't know what to expect from the next episode.
They don't know what to There's nothing to expect for the next episode. You haven't told him anything. You haven't told him. We're going to talk about Bad Batch.
Okay. Look, I've done the plan for this week.
Did I can't AI think about write this?
No, I didn't. I can't think about what's coming up in 3 weeks' time. Give me a break.
3 weeks' time is going to be at least 2 months.
No, because we only did like 4 episodes last year.
We did. We're really bad.
I got the idea of why. No, that can't be right.
Was that right?
I think it's the Broby's fault, to be honest. I think we get rid of him.
Yeah. Wow. You know, maybe we just halve his pay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's going to have to start paying us.
Yeah. Well, he does with the drinks.
True. True. He is losing money coming here. Yeah.
Hey, I've been losing money since I started this thing. So. All right, guys. Well, thanks again for joining us. And we'll hear from you and you'll hear from us next month.
This podcast is produced by a small yet dedicated team. Good News Geek is not a revenue-generating enterprise, but a labour of love. If you like what you hear, be sure to tell people about us. Your podcast presenters are John, Matt and Scott. Produced by John. Social media by Matt and John. Edited by Yolanda and John. With music supplied by purpleplanet.com and fesleyanstudios.com. Drink supplied by Scott, the Proby, and Bestie Not Forget It.